Connolly, we'll hear from you.
Morning, and may it please the court. Sean Connolly with Michael Allen on behalf of the plaintiff relators in this False Claims Act case. The relators, Curtis Lockey and Craig McKenzie, personally experienced Dallas's housing practices and their discrimination against low-income housing in 2008 and 2009 when the city of Dallas blocked their project in downtown Dallas because, in the words of one city official, it did not want so much low-income housing downtown.
One of the things that
I'm sorry, Your Honor.
One of the things that raises questions for me is that you have two defendants in here, separate entities. You're seeking separate liabilities, and I guess you're seeking separate judgments against them because they certainly received different amounts of money and had different relationships with HUD. So is that the way we have to look at this case? You've got two defendants, and you have no direct evidence that I saw with respect to HUD, or with respect to the Dallas Housing Authority. They said they never heard of you. They don't know anything about these conversations. They never had any dealings with you.
Understood, Your Honor. So we have two things we have to convince the court of. One, that we are the original source of the city of Dallas and information against the city, and Your Honor is correct. And then second, that the Dallas Housing Authority cannot separate itself from the city for these purposes. They are, yes, separate defendants, but they are related entities.
Why can't they?
Well, because they relied on public disclosure. They both sought to trigger the same bar, the public disclosure bar of the False Claims Act. The DHA said disclosure's name in the city also invoked the bar as to us. So in that purpose, they said they were one Dallas. It's interesting. They now say they criticize us.
I don't know if they're saying it, but what I'm saying is that there, are two defendants here. I mean, I don't understand. You tried to shake it up and make one out of them.
Not at all. For liability, there are two defendants.
For liability, but they're not responsible for each other's statements.
Well, I think in this context, they have interrelated obligations. Well, because, for example, the city of Dallas has to prepare analyses of impediments under the.
That's right, but the housing authority has to file their own.
Well, they don't. Actually, they have to work with the city and they corroborate the city.
Well, they file some kind of certificate. That's what you're claiming.
But in terms of...
Different certificates. Different claims.
Yes, I would submit they're related. But our first obligation is to keep the city of Dallas in the case. And then we do have an obligation to say why, if they're in the case, DHA cannot separate themselves.
It really seems like the one thing in this whole case that you are arguably an original source of is this one conversation in which this one guy said low-income housing isn't part of the plan for downtown Dallas or something to that effect. And that guy was not a DHA guy. And that's your whole original source claim. I mean, there's nothing else that you've pointed to in all of this briefing that happened to your people specifically.
2 points, Ron. I disagree with only one conversation. But if I could talk about the city of Dallas first and then DHA. City of Dallas, because the court could say we are original sources, city of Dallas, but not
one,
DHA.
It's one paragraph out of 150 of the factual allegations of your complaint.
I disagree. The fundamental allegation of the complaint is that the defendants, and if I can talk about the city of Dallas first, and the court could say that we are original sources to the city, but not DHA. The court could say that. So if I can, and I'd like to at least keep the city of Dallas in, so if I can talk about the city of Dallas first. It is the fundamental allegation of the complaint is that the city of Dallas had an obligation to affirmatively further fair housing. And that not only did they not affirmatively further fair housing, but they affirmatively undercut it, intentionally undercut fair housing. And that's an allegation that's now supported by HUD, obviously, in terms of the findings that we brought to the court's attention in November.
Okay. And what, and y'all have done amazing and wonderful research and of public documents and so forth, and that's very admirable. But when we are focusing in on what happened to your clients specifically, I'm not aware of anything other than this conversation in which this one guy from the city says, low-income housing isn't part of our vision or whatever for Dallas.
Let me address that, Your Honor, then. It's not one conversation. The experience started in 2008, continued for over a year into 2009, when the city, not just this one individual, but his name is
Zapp. Y'all felt like your clients felt like they were sort of being jacked around. I understand that. However, the one sentence that relates this to the low-income is this one conversation. The overall feeling that we're trying to get this done and we're getting approvals and then there were not approvals and all the back and forth. I mean, the city of Dallas has had a history of having problems getting things done in downtown Dallas, not solely in the low-income housing sector. But there's problems. I get that. But the thing that ties that into a discrimination against low-income housing, to use that word, is this conversation in which this person says, it's not part of our vision. What else do you have that makes that tie?
It's the whole course of dealings from 08 to 09. Beginning with, they proposed, and it's not just this one conversation, they proposed, let us do 51% low-income housing. The city, not just this one individual, not just this one conversation, said, no, we don't want 51% housing, low-income. Cut it back. So a whole pattern. The city turned back $102 million in HERA bonds, federal bonds, because it did not want to accept Section 8 housing. And that's not just this one conversation. It's a follow-up email where this individual, Zabotkowski, conferred with Jerry Killingsworth and said, we both agree that Section 8 is not part of the vision for this. So it's not just the one conversation. It's a whole pattern of 2008 to 2009.
In your complaint, point me to the paragraphs that specifically allege matters involving where your clients were personally involved as opposed to doing research on it.
Well, the whole overall theme. Paragraph.
I'm not talking about theme. I want paragraphs.
Okay. Well, 104 is the paragraph you're talking about. 86, though, if I can say, though, Your Honor, the theme, because the original source question, in the words of the statute, are we have to have direct and independent knowledge of the information on which the allegations are based. That's the verbatim requirement of original source information. Now, the information is, and the allegation, the complaint, is that Dallas did not affirmatively further fair housing, but intentionally undermined it by intentionally promoting segregation. Now, our information is based on a year of dealings with the city of Dallas, not DHA, but the city of Dallas, a year of dealing with the city of Dallas, in which Dallas intentionally blocked, and not just in one conversation, but turned down bonds, said, we don't want Section 8 funding here. We don't want this. It's not one conversation, so I do want to take
so the paragraphs are, you've given me, 86 and 104.
86 and
that are alleging things that your clients specifically experienced, not something they read about in the paper or looked up in a book or whatever.
104 is the only one that specifically says yes. That what they did. But we gave an affidavit that the court accepted that the city now wants to attack, a declaration, joint declaration, that talked all about their experience and said, these experiences led us to conclude that Dallas was intentionally, the city of Dallas, was intentionally blocking low-income housing from coming downtown.
Okay. So let me understand something, because I want to be really clear in my head. You equate low-income and minority housing, and I understand that there can be low-income minorities. There can also be low-income non-minorities. There can also be high-income minorities. Okay? Correct? Fair point. Which one is the one that's supposed to be getting the fair housing of these various groups? Who is it? Is it specifically low income, or is it specifically minorities, or is it both? Or who exactly is supposed to be? Because you use the two interchangeably, and I'm not prepared to concede that they're interchangeable.
Well, for the purpose of the complaint, I think I've taken it in line most favorable. But the HUD letter, I'd read the HUD letter. HUD said that low income in Dallas is disproportionately minority and people served by the fair housing laws. That's the HUD letter. And they said, therefore, this is HUD, this is not just us. HUD said in the letter that we've provided to the court, said that low-income housing disproportionately serves minorities. And therefore, if you discriminate against low-income housing opportunities, you're discriminating against minorities. That's not us, that's HUD. And that's not disparate impact, that's intentional discrimination.
So the fair housing is supposed to address the issue of minorities and non-minorities, not particularly low-income and high-income, or is it both? That's my point. Putting aside who it impacts in Dallas or anywhere else, I'm just asking you as just looking at the statute. What is your contention on that?
Yes, I think it's minority. Affirmatively, okay. The fair housing, you have to take steps to break down persistent barriers of housing segregation.
So what if the city of Dallas wanted to further high-end housing but market it to the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and minority-owned businesses?
That wouldn't work. The numbers just don't match up there. And HUD said this, and this is our allegation. Again, we're at a threshold stage, Ron. We don't have to prove our case now. We just have to say we have the right to be in court. HUD has supported our allegation that when Dallas and a pattern of blocking low-income housing from coming downtown is discriminated against minorities because they overwhelmingly are in that low-income bracket. And they said, if you want 60% of fair market value or average median income, disproportionately is a minority population. And the statistics are set out in the HUD letter that are in the record now. And so when you block low-income housing, you are blocking minorities. That is one and the same in the course of Dallas.
Okay, and so Dallas could not address segregation in housing by trying to further housing downtown that is marketed to high-income minorities.
They could try to address it that way, but what they cannot do is they cannot block low-income housing because that is blocking and that is promoting segregation, which is contrary to their obligation to affirmatively further fair housing. So they can do a lot of outreach, I guess, and try to say we want to do a lot of different programs, but what they cannot do is block low-income housing from coming downtown. And that is what we revealed, our relators, Curtis Locke and Craig McKenzie, through their experiences with the LTV project downtown and through their follow-up investigation, providing HUD with information saying this is not isolated, this is part of a pattern. And that is what HUD has now found. And again, the merits of whether this is true or false is
no,
not
I get that. But I guess to me it seems like if the whole thing is this LTV project, then why is that only one paragraph? That's what bothers me.
But that's why I want to take issue with Your Honor that okay. It's not just...
I asked you for the paragraphs and you couldn't give them to me, so I'm just confused.
We could have a two-paragraph allegation in the complaint, and it might not be sufficiently particular, but the allegation could be that the City of Dallas is obligated to affirmatively further fair housing. And they made certifications that they were doing so when they sought hundreds of millions of dollars from HUD. They did not affirmatively further fair housing, but intend actively undermined it. And that's in paragraph 89. So 86, we talk about they actively undermined their obligations. 89, we said in a variety of ways. And again, the allegation could be very simple. And that's the information. The allegation is really simple. They had to affirmatively further fair housing. They intentionally undermined it. They lied. That could be the allegation. It could be two lines. Now, we went through a lot more detail than that, and then when pressed, because again, you don't have to plead why your original source in your complaint. When challenged, we provide an affidavit, a declaration that extensively went through all the experiences that these defendants did and all the investigation they did. And, Judge Jolly wrote Reagan and Judge Southwick wrote Freed. Both of those cases, the two original source cases, probably the leading ones in this circuit in 04 and 08, both said, did the information here put a federal agency on the trail of wrongdoing and lying that might otherwise have gone unnoticed? That's a threat. That's a key inquiry.
But it has to be original source.
Well, that's the definition of original source. Have you provided information to an agency of fraud that might otherwise have gone unnoticed? What stronger case could you have than this one, Your Honor, where you said HUD started the investigation?
It's public notice, and it went unnoticed by HUD. It doesn't matter what you have done here.
No, I think there are two issues. One is the public disclosure bar triggered? And ironically, the reason it was triggered, the most glaring reason, is because of an article written in 2010 based on these two related information in the Dallas Observer. And then a couple of other older, less specific news things triggered the public disclosure bar. So we admit it's triggered. The question is, are we original sources? Did we bring something new and important to bear on the information?
Not something new.
Information.
Original information.
Original information that otherwise might have gone unnoticed. Did we put the federal agency on the trail of the fraud? And I don't think there'd be a stronger case here than HUD started an investigation solely because of our information. And the landmark findings that they issued in November of 2013 are in the name of our client's project versus City of Dallas. And that's landmark findings that they issued based solely because we came forward and said, look what's happened to us, and by the way, look at all these other projects that the same things happened to that you wouldn't have otherwise known about but for us. I don't think there could be a stronger case if you say, and take those words literally in terms of Reagan and Freed, did we put the agency on the trail of wrongdoing that otherwise might have gone unnoticed? Absolutely, unequivocally, yes.
And also, I imagine my colleagues may want you to stay on the trail that you're on, but there is the Dallas Housing Authority. You don't have much time left. If you want to leave us with one thought to tell us why it's not just the City of Dallas against which this claim is properly being brought, but Dallas Housing Authority and that the original source applies there too, what should we keep in mind?
The fact that they're interrelated, the fact that for this context, DHA triggered the bar based on disclosures about the city of Dallas. So they said, this has all been publicly disclosed. Look at this article about the city of Dallas that also triggers the bar as to us because we're interrelated. They called themselves Dallas in that context. Then all of a sudden when we say, well, we're the original sources to Dallas, they say, well, we're not really Dallas. We're the DHA and city's different. So, but again, Your Honor, my main point would be at this point, given the kind of friendly fire I've taken, is to keep the city of Dallas in. And I think that's the first issue, and it's an important issue before the court. I also think DHA should be in, but at this point, my main concern in this court is keeping the city of Dallas in this case, because they really should be. We are the original source, at least as to the city of Dallas.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Connolly. You have saved some time for rebuttal. And Mr. Estee?
Please, the court. My name is Charles Estee. I represent the city of Dallas in this matter. The only issue on appeal is whether or not the relators are an original source. And the standard for determining original source is straightforward, whether or not the relators have direct and independent knowledge of the information on which the allegations alleged in their pleadings are based.
Okay, well, what about this whole LTV mess that they say is just one, you know, illustration after another of the city of Dallas's repression of low-income housing, which they contend then also represses minority housing?
Well, there are a couple issues with that. One is, first, it's not in their pleadings. Contrary to what counsel has said, there are no allegations doing. The only reference is that the statement by Mr. Zabotowski that he doesn't view affordable downtown housing as part of the vision of downtown. That's the only allegation. There are no allegations regarding that. So if we look at, and essentially what they're trying to do is alter the standard for direct and independent knowledge by saying that causing an investigation is enough, by saying you don't have to consider the pleadings, and by disregarding what the basis of their allegations are. In all those three categories, this court has rejected. And I believe the issue they've spent a lot of time talking about whether or not the investigation, that they caused the investigation, and but for their complaints to HUD, there wouldn't be this HUD letter, there wouldn't be the investigation. That's not the standard. This court, as well as
so the whole HUD thing, you think is a red herring?
I do.
It has nothing to do with our situation here.
No, Your Honor. Specifically, as to the HUD letter itself, that only has any relevance in the context of whether or not the district court abused its discretion in denying the Rule 60B.
So the HUD investigation line of attack is just a different standard, in your view, than the whole issue of whether this is a proper case to be brought as an original source.
Well, let me separate where we are with the letter as opposed to the investigation.
Aren't they all tied together?
Well, I think
the letter was the result of the investigation, right?
No, but only in terms of whether or not the district court abused its discretion in denying the 60B2 motion. The ongoing investigation, though, is not relevant for determining original source. This court and the Supreme Court in three different cases had situations where relators brought lawsuits. The U.S. intervened in one of the cases, and these are Rockwell International, Federal Recovery Services, and Jameson. One of the parties, in one of the cases, the U.S. and the relators filed an amended complaint. All three courts didn't view that as determinative, whether because they had intervened in an ongoing litigation brought by the relators. Instead, they had to go back and do an analysis of whether or not they were direct and independent, had indirect and independent knowledge of the allegations in their pleadings. And in each.
So you're saying you could go and analyze a bunch of public records that have been sitting in a dusty room somewhere and put HUD on the trail of an investigation, but you still wouldn't be an original source?
Correct.
But they're saying that the HUD letter and investigation and all that is focused on this whole LTV project, which is their case, which is their deal.
But again, it's not in their pleadings, and they had that option. But even if we consider their pleadings, or consider their affidavit, what they alleged is they talked about Carl Zabotowski, and you emphasized that as well. Mr. Zabotowski, they presented evidence that he denied the statement. They likewise, in their pleadings and
they've been on 12B6, we assume he said it.
Summary judgment.
Well, so in summary judgment, we assume he said it. They say he said it, he denies it. That sounds like a credibility question.
All right. But he doesn't have actual or apparent authority to do it. He doesn't have the authority to bind the city to that.
Well, I'm sure nobody in the city of Dallas has authority to discriminate against minorities. But that doesn't mean that they're not doing it.
Your Honor, but he doesn't have to express the view, and that's what they're relying on, is his expression of a view of the city's intent. Furthermore, Mr. Zawitowski supported
it. Who would have that authority? The city council has to all vote to discriminate against minorities?
I think they have to take the action that what they would assert would be discrimination.
So the city council is who would have to do the discriminatory.
This is not all that different from a Section 1983 action where you would have to have a policymaker involved.
Okay, and maybe I'm not asking this well. Who's the policymaker for the city of Dallas?
City council.
Okay.
But, and I think you asked the question about dealing with, okay, his statement dealt with affordable housing, not fair housing. So whatever you want to try, they only get to.
Well, so that leads to the question, doesn't it? Is a decision to not have low-income housing equal to a decision to not have minority housing?
No,
he says it is, and that we need to accept that because HUD says it is, he says it is, therefore it is.
No. It's the affirmative, the duty to affirmatively further fair housing, and the city doesn't have any obligation to provide affordable housing. It does so, and it does so in a fair and equitable manner. But there is no obligation, and that's not the standard. The standard is whether or not you're somehow discriminating or causing discrimination based on one of the protected classes.
So you do not accept the link that they're alleging between low income and sort of disproportionately. I mean, obviously there are low income minorities, low income non-minorities. Everybody understands that, as well as high income of both groups. But they're saying it disproportionately impacts minorities when you discriminate against low income housing.
Well, I think that's a disparate impact in claim, which they've said they're not asserting. This is also a false claim, so it would have to be a knowing decision, not,
So you're saying if Zawitowski just was clueless, he just doesn't like the sound of low-income housing, he had no idea who that would impact, and he says, we just don't want that because we want to have shiny buildings and whatever, then that would be okay because he didn't mean to discriminate, even assuming whether he's a policymaker or not, because he didn't mean that to impact minorities. He just was talking about just low income versus high income.
Well, and I guess.
Is that your argument?
Well, no, it's not my argument, but it is what they have to conclude. They make it based on that statement, they speculate or suspect that's what his motivation was, that it somehow was linked to opposition to housing minorities. There's no evidence to support that. You only get there, and the district court mentioned in both its orders denying the new trials. That you only get there by suspecting that that's what his statement meant.
So that's some sort of code.
Pardon me?
Some sort of code.
Let me ask you, why are we even talking about this? I mean, isn't the question of whether they made a false statement with respect to whether they were doing everything they could to promote in an affirmative way fair housing? It has nothing to do with race one way or the other in terms of this case of false statement, does it?
I agree, Your Honor. I mean, the crux of their allegations against the city dealt with defects in the 1998 and 2007 analysis of impediments. That's what the district court noted. And if you review the complaint or the amended complaint, all the allegations, or the majority of the allegations, all conclude with the statement that the city failed to properly analyze and include whatever this impediment was.
As I understand what you're saying, is on this business of a trail or investigation, one statement can't put one incriminated statement of one agent of the Dallas department without other information cannot create a situation with HUD that's going to come in here and investigate. It has got to have all this other evidence in the complaint that gives some kind of, if we've used the word, context to what they were saying. So, I mean, it's, you know, one paragraph of incriminating evidence is not the same as putting the police or the government on the trail of a
And I think that's highlighted by the simple look at what they've, based on what they allege versus what they're now claiming. We had a denial of funding in 2009. That doesn't have any relationship to whether or not the 1998 AI, the 2007 AI, were so incomplete and so defective or so untimely as to make the certifications made by the city for a 10-year period somehow false.
But what they're allegedly falsely representing is impediments to fair housing for minorities, right?
Correct.
Okay. So, I mean, that would implicate racial questions, yes? I mean...
No.
No? Fair housing for minorities does not involve... I mean, I...
Your Honor, I mean... The,
minorities of race, right?
What they're saying is that the certifications were false from... Well, they started...
No, I understand the timing, but I didn't understand the point that race doesn't matter.
I'm sorry?
Well, I mean, just go ahead and answer the questions.
Again, what they're concerned about was affordable housing. That's what the one statement had to say. And their pleadings, as well as the undisputed evidence, established that the city was actually providing affordable housing in downtown Dallas.
No, my point is that I thought the whole bottom line is...
Let me ask you, did they make any statement with regard to minorities in the certification?
No.
Was it all with respect to whether they were doing enough for a fair house, for low, creating low-income housing?
No, Your Honor. The certification is that the city affirmatively furthers fair housing. It doesn't have anything to do... the certification doesn't talk about creating affordable housing.
It just says, is the city doing everything it can to promote fair housing?
Right. The requirement...
That's the certification.
And fair housing is for minorities and non-minorities, in other words, to avoid segregation of housing.
Correct.
Okay. So, that does involve questions of race. I mean, I don't want it to be about that, but I'm not understanding how you can be involved in a question of whether minorities and non-minorities are getting fair housing without that analysis.
Well,
so what am I missing?
Your Honor, but I guess we are providing the affordable housing in downtown Dallas. Those allegations, and they presented through their own pleadings as well as the evidence, and we're beginning to stray really far from what we're really talking about is whether they're the original source of any of those allegations from which these pleadings are based on. Again, they have not alleged anything dealing with what occurred to them in their pleadings. And so they're trying to make this unalleged, unrelated event somehow extrapolated out for all this 10 to 15 year period of time dealing with the certifications.
Okay, let me come at it this way. What are you certifying? In these various 98 and 2007, what are you certifying?
When we affirmatively say we're certifying, we're affirmatively furthering fair housing, under the regs, we're required to perform an analysis of impediments. And then we're supposed to address those impediments, and then we're supposed to keep records.
And that's
right now, fair housing deals only with low-income housing. Is that correct?
No, it does not.
The opposite.
It is not the focus of what fair housing.
HUD comes in and supports and will fund the building of luxury apartments?
No, but that's not a component of the fair housing. That is a component of what some of the HUD programs do. They're trying to promote affordable housing,
I mean, component. The whole matter was low-income people, and that it is a general accepted fact that low-income people are minorities. But the question is whether it's affordable, whether you're doing everything you can to build affordable housing for people who are low income.
Well,
or is it complicated? I mean, all of it's social engineering, so I don't know what they're trying to accomplish. So anyway, that's the end of that. We'll hear now from Ms. Jackson. We'll hear from Ms. Jackson, representing the Housing Authority.
May it please the court, Ursa Jackson for the Dallas Housing Authority.
A I don't want to get you off on a tangent, but I want to be clear. Fair Housing Act deals with avoiding segregated housing, right?
Well, why can't we just concede that, just tell her yes, and then we'll move on to the real issues?
Well, okay.
Because that's not what we just finished having a conversation about. Can you explain how low income and minority housing, how those two concepts relate as to the Fair Housing Act?
So I think there's a difference between talking about fair housing in general and affordable housing. Some of the programs that are directly geared towards affordable housing. And then fair housing is a different, I think a different animal. It might be helpful to examine what the certification, because I think that your question is basically what are we saying when we certify?
Right.
So the statute says that we've examined our programs, that we've looked at whether there are any impediments, any of our policies that are hindering the availability of affordable housing and fair housing. So these are certifications when we sign our programs, when we do our annual reports, we're certifying that. We've addressed any impediments in a reasonable fashion, and there's not a lot of guidance as to DHA. They provide a formal analysis of impediments. As to us, we do an annual report. It might be helpful if I point you all to something that's in the record. It's a really detailed discussion of how it all works. It's a declaration from DHA. It's 14-10063.2547. There's a discussion about the types of programs that might be useful for the court's review and background. But I can see that it's very complicated to try and figure all of that out. But I would echo, as far as DHA is concerned, we were a stranger to the LTV project. As Mr. Connolly has said, they gained whatever original source status in 2008 and 2009. DHA did not hang its hat only on disclosures that happened after that point.
Counsel, let me ask you, any particular reason why the city was involved in the LTV project rather than DHA?
That's a very good question.
Well,
DHA does not have any of that funding that's available. That's not funding that DHA would even touch. While DHA and the city...
It's not a timing matter. It's not something else. This is a project DHA would not have done.
Exactly. That's not something that's a different type of funding. That's not the type of funding that DHA would have been involved in the discussion. It's DHA would have never been at the table on that type of project. They were going to the city for a specific type of project.
And what funding are you all involved in, and why would you not be involved in the LTV?
Well, the type of funding that we have, for instance, the HOPE grant that's discussed in the document and in the transcript that I gave you, projects to rehab some of the current projects that we have. We've attempted to take some HOPE grant money to renovate projects. We have other grants where we've done projects in the northern sector. This discussion about the northern and southern sector has been around long before the relators. There's documentation in the record and fights that DHA has had to take housing to the north, specifically the Hillcrest Project, Frankfort Townhomes. This is not a new discussion. It predates 2008.
So you all deal with low-income housing.
Yes.
Whoever may benefit, minority or non, you deal with low-income housing.
Right.
So if somebody wants to do a project in downtown Dallas that is not specifically low-income housing, they just want to build apartments, just general apartments that they're going to rent for whatever, that wouldn't really involve your group.
Right. That wouldn't be our funding. They would have to go to the city for that. That's why I think it's odd that we were involved.
So your charge is to try to spread low-income housing throughout the city of Dallas so that it's not concentrated in one location or another.
That's exactly right, and we've been doing that since the Walker settlement. In fact, we've been under the court's direction since the settlement. The Walker case was filed in 1985. After the settlement was entered into, DHA has had regular reporting requirements to the court. Walker is not gone away. It's still around. As recently as 6 weeks ago, there was a hearing in the Walker case. So Walker is still around. We've been under the watchful eye of the court and of HUD since that time. Years before the relators came onto the scene, there were discussions about concentration of low-income housing and trying to decentralize that. But the relators have never had any interaction with DHA. There's nothing in their declarations. They pointed to also relying on a declaration when you ask about any personal knowledge. If you look at the declaration, there's nothing in there that says they had any personal contact or any personal knowledge at all as to DHA. To DHA's knowledge, they've never attended a meeting, never stepped foot into DHA, and certainly not been involved with any of their programs. They do not qualify as an original source. We have not waived our ability to separate ourselves from the city by merely pointing to one of many public disclosures, some that far dated the LTV project.
So what you're saying is they don't know anything about us, and to the extent that they're trying to point to something, all of that is publicly disclosed.
That's exactly right.
So it's not trying to have it both ways. You're just trying to point to two separate concepts.
That's exactly right. And the law is clear that no specific defendant need be listed specifically in a public disclosure. It needs to, for instance, show an industry-wide problem or alert. And so for that reason, that's the Little versus Shell case and Jameson as well. Because of those cases, DHA gets the benefit of that. But we're a separate legal entity. By law, we are a separate legal entity. And the mere fact that we might serve individuals in the same zip codes or in the same population, that doesn't erase the fact that we're separate legal entities.
When we're looking at a false claim, I'm sorry to interrupt you. When we're looking at a false claim, the claim arises from your certifications, and you are in no way certifying for the overall geographic area. You are only certifying for what the Dallas Housing Authority is up to?
Yes, we're certifying for our specific programs. That's exactly
right. So if you are aware of Dallas's vision, which is inconsistent with that, not assuming it is, but were that to be the case, you're making no certifications along those lines.
Right, that's exactly right. The certification is as to how we've used the funds that we've been given to effectuate the purposes for which HUD granted us those funds.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Ms. Jackson, you've helped us here.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We will now hear from Mr. Connolly, please. 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Yes, thank you, Your Honor. A few points. First of all, in terms of the allegations in the complaint, the key allegations are really paragraphs 86 and 89, and they are plea conclusions. That is, that they had an obligation to affirmatively further fair housing, and they intentionally, and this is in paragraph 89, intentionally steered low-income housing to the southern sector of Dallas rather than the northern sector. That's paragraph 89. Now, how do we know that? We don't have to plead how we...
Jackson makes a point that this exact point, this argument that you just said, this has been in the Dallas Morning News for the last 25-plus years, this concept that the southern sector is somehow being treated to this way versus the northern sector and this alleged divide in the city of Dallas. This isn't news.
I think the intentional actions are news. They're saying we're doing everything we can to affirmatively further. People have said you're not doing enough. That's been in the news. You're not doing enough to break down barriers to fair housing. All right? What's not been in the news and was not known to HUD until our clients experienced it and then reported it is that Dallas, City of Dallas, was intentionally acting to block low-income housing from coming downtown. That was not in the news, Your Honor, and I think that's exactly why when it became news, when HUD found that's exactly what's going on and that it's a pattern in our project and others, that's why it became front-page news, and that's why that this story did become news.
Okay, what about the notion that Zabotowski's not a policymaker, so even if he said this statement, that doesn't sort of bind the city?
He's the head of the city's Office of Economic Development. He's the one that had project authority over this, along with Jerry Killingsworth. They clearly had authority to commit the city to this project, and they blocked this project. I find that argument, I don't like to use adjectives, but it's has no merit.
The whole thing is, to me, and you can explain why one paragraph with respect to this discussion about not having housing downtown can be enough evidence to put HUD on the trail of wrongdoing without all of the 149 paragraphs that you've also alleged.
Because, Your Honor, that's why I'm trying to take it. It's not one paragraph. The whole allegation.
No, you said it's two, but let's...
No, it's not. It's the whole heart of the case is that they're blocking it from coming downtown. And how is it enough to put on the trail? It's not that one paragraph. It's all the information they unearthed and provided to HUD.
It's all not, from public records.
It's not. It's their experience, Your Honor, for over a year when they had their project blocked. And that's
why do you unearth something you know? I mean, you unearth stuff in public records. That's what unearthing means.
Well, you did two things. You had your own experiences, which you...
That's what caused you to want to unearth.
Yes, so it's the combination. And then I think the unearthing is not my language. That's language used in Laird and used in Reagan. And it can say that a relator's investigation can add something new and material that was previously unknown. A mosaic was put together by their investigation. So it's their personal experiences corroborated by their investigation and then corroborated and I don't know why it's hard for me to articulate this and convince the court of this. It's not me just saying that how did this put HUD on the trail. It's demonstrated. HUD said it. HUD said because of the investigation, because of the information you provided.
Yeah, but how much information did you provide? You provided a whole lot of information to HUD other than that single statement.
Absolutely. We provided a whole lot of information to HUD.
So that was...
What?
The only original information that you had was the information that came out of the sources of your meeting with respect to this LTV project.
Their firsthand experiences were over a year of dealing with many city officials and having statements made by a city council member. If it takes city council, we mentioned Angela Hunt. Their declaration, a 9-page declaration in the record, sworn declaration, details all the information they had, all the information they provided to HUD. And again, the reason it doesn't have to
what
be in a
complaint. What did Angela Hunt say?
Pardon me?
What did Angela Hunt say?
Angela Hunt said, we don't want those kind of people downtown. It's too much. There's too much. The reason we didn't like your project was because there was too much low-income housing. And that's in an email. So that was, and that's detailed in their affidavit in pages 3102 to 3109 or thereabouts. They talk about not just Zavikowski, not just Killingsworth, but Angela Hunt. TIF board members, the tax increment financing information laid out in their declaration. It's a very thorough declaration. We don't have to plead facts. I think part of the problem is that we're having, we don't have to plead facts in a complaint about why we're an original source. When that's challenged, we come forward with evidence, and we did, and that declaration is in the record. So it's not a matter of just looking at the complaint. It's looking at all the evidence, including the HUD findings, and we ask the court to reverse, at least as to the City of Dallas. Thank you, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Connolly. We will take